Good morning.
I'm going to have to learn how to speak softly. Do we really know what it means to be a channel? You know, if we have a hose that's all full of rubber, it's not going to be a very good channel, even though the hose is made of rubber. This is a good song to go into our text, but let's first bow our heads for prayer. Lord, I thank you for another time to gather with your people. God, your word is very precious, and Lord, I pray that the words written here would not just be an historical account, but Lord, we know that your words here are life and they are power, and Father, I just pray that you would give us life, open our eyes, help us to truly be channels where we can say none of self, but all of thee. Lord, I pray that you'd be our vision. Lord, we want to be a humble people. We ask for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we go back to the book of John. John chapter 3, verses 22. 36, we'll finish out this next chapter. I love the book of John. I spent a lot of time in it, and although it's been a while, it never ceases to bless me. We don't know a whole lot about John the Baptist, but regarding people in the Bible, we actually, at least for the New Testament, we know a fair amount about him. And one thing I find very interesting in his sermons is that he uses a lot of illustrations. And I think that is very common, or was common, for the Jewish time period. They used a lot of analogies, stories, and illustrations to bring out a truth. And I think it's a very good thing for us to do even today and to practice in. All right, well, let's read this text and we will go over it afterward. Starting in verse 22, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, and the friend, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to a seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So after this dissertation with Nicodemus, Jesus and his disciples went into the land of Judea and started baptizing. In chapter 4, we read, When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. So here Jesus wasn't necessarily baptizing, but he was giving oversight anyway, it seems, and his disciples were baptizing. So Jesus is baptizing one place, and John is also baptizing in a separate place. And people were going to Jesus and being baptized. And I find something interesting here in verse 24. John was not yet cast into prison. It seems like a lot of us, if we had been in John's shoes, knowing that we were the forerunner of Christ, and here, finally, after all this preaching, after people are repenting and being baptized, we see the Lamb of God coming. There's a proclamation. Behold, the Lamb of God. Jesus is baptized, and the Spirit descends on him like a dove from heaven. And a voice comes from heaven saying, Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John could have said, My job is done. He could have just sat down in his easy chair and just enjoy the rest of his life and watch Jesus' ministry going. But John didn't do that. He continued. And I wonder how many of us, when we start seeing fruits of ministry, we feel like, whew, my task is completed. Instead of realizing that we are not yet done. God is not done with us. And maybe there are times where there is a completion, we're on to something else. But here we see John actively working in the ministry that he was given up until the point he was cast into prison. And there comes this question, this argument, this disagreement, this debate about ceremonial cleansing, about purifying. And it seems like, we don't all know what questions they have, but in context, it seems like maybe some of the question was, so John's baptizing, Jesus is baptizing, which baptism is more important, or some kind of question anyway that brought up Jesus. And so John's disciples, being good disciples, wanting to see their master, doing well and being well spoken of and all this, they go to him and they say, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom you bear witness, that man, he's over there baptizing, and all these people are going to you. Almost like they're saying, you begin this ministry of baptism, and you even baptize this guy, and you kind of jump-started this guy into his ministry, and now he's presumptuously taking over your ministry. He's over there, and all these people are going over there and leaving you just high and dry. This is terrible. Like they come up to him, like he's gonna say, "You're right. We got to go talk to that Jesus. Tell him, put him back in his place. I'm the one who did this. This is my ministry. I'm gonna be the baptizer around here. That's why I'm called John the Baptist, not Jesus the Baptist, right?" John did not have that attitude whatsoever. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Some of this is, I believe, taken out of, people take this out of context. In context, I see that God is the one who sets men on high and brings them down. He's the one who brings up rulers and sets down. In Psalm 75, 6 through 7, we read, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." In Daniel 2, 20 through 21, we read, "Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." John here is in a spiritual work, and if Jesus is surpassing him, he is saying this is because God is raising him up. "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. Don't you remember? I said, I'm just the forerunner. I'm before the Lamb of God. I'm before the Christ, the Messiah. I am not that Christ." He's not taking glory for himself. And there are people who, I'm afraid even myself, I have those temptations. When somebody starts praising you for another man's work, or something that you're not really worthy of, we kind of want to just be silent and just, humbly bow our head and just kind of blush a little bit, just kind of take it in. Where John is saying, "I'm not the Christ, I'm sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." This reminds me of a verse in Philippians that I will turn to real quick. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak in the word through fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The true friend is going to rejoice at the prospering of the bridegroom. He's going to rejoice. And he goes on to say, he must increase, but I must decrease. He realizes that Christ's ministry is going to usurp and overshadow and take over John's ministry. And he just rejoices in that. Here Christ is prospering. The Messiah is growing in the ministry. People are flocking to him. And he realizes that, and he rejoices in it. I'm afraid a lot of us, when we see somebody else that God begins using more than ourselves, we just start feeling jealous or envious, feeling like, Lord, you should be using me more. You know, why are you using that other person? But instead, John humbles himself, and he says, God, Jesus must increase, I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Here he acknowledges that we're of the earth. Things that we speak are earthly things. Jesus is from heaven. The things that he speaks are heavenly things. And therefore, he is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth. Isn't that amazing? The prophets in the Old Testament moved as they spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But here Jesus is speaking of things that he has seen and heard. It's not just a by witness, but he was there and he knows because he was in heaven. Reminds me of 1 John, the way John opens up his book. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. Going down to verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Jesus, in the same way, is coming with what he has seen and what he has heard. And that should make us all the more tune our ears into what Jesus has said. He's not making this up. This isn't something that he got secondhand. This is what it is, and he knows it, because he has seen and has heard. And no man receiveth his testimony. It's interesting here that John's disciples were disappointed that all these people are going to Jesus. John's just left there by himself. And John is disappointed that very few people are receiving Lord's testimony. Just total contrast. It shows John's heart and his disciples' heart. He wants to see Jesus glorified. He wants to see people receiving the Lord's testimony. And he says, he that has received his testimony has set to a seal that God is true. He could put his stamp, his seal on it. He can affirm that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. It's an interesting thing to think about how the Spirit is given to us, and some of different measure, but with Jesus, he was given without measure. Jesus said that all things were given into his hands, and the Father loveth the Son, and all these things were given without measure. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. it seems to me like John is the first one, at least in Christ's ministry, that saw the sonship of Jesus Christ. We see Jesus talking about him being the Son, but John the Baptist too now says, "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand." We will read in other Gospels where John went through a moment of wondering, is he the Messiah or isn't he? But here we see that John is very sure that he is the Christ. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." It's interesting that he repeats part of, pretty much, in a few other words, what Jesus told Nicodemus in verse 16 and on. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Compare that with this last verse. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." I'm sure it blessed John's heart when two of his disciples, after he proclaimed Jesus as the Lamb of God, those disciples went and they followed Jesus. And John is just wishing others would do the same. I'm afraid that there's too much of myself when it comes to ministry. You know, it's not just Jesus. We want to live in such a way and minister in such a way that people turn to Jesus, where we decrease and God, in people's eyes, increase. Whereas channels, people turn to the Lord. They're not flocking to us, but they're flocking to him. I thought of the verse, "Be Thou My Vision." Whenever that is our passion, and singing of that song, when you sing and pray that song, the person who sings that in a way that, in truth and in honesty, is going to have the same heart here as John the Baptist. And we see few people in the Bible truly have this heart. I feel like Moses and Paul were good examples of this. And even Daniel. You know, Daniel ministered in kingly courts, and he had all that he could have wanted. And yet, when he was offered jewels and titles, he said, "Keep that for yourself and give the title to another person." He just wanted to speak and proclaim the words of God. I think this is a beautiful section where we see and are also convicted to have the same heart as John the Baptist. I'm afraid that's all I have for you, but hope that was a blessing.